This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSCs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Joey and I were just talking about Endgame. No spoilers here. I would never do that to you. But
even though they've lifted the ban, you still won't get spoilers here.
Yeah, no spoilers here. But if you want to see Endgame in a great theater, the Lowe's Dolby Theater down here in Plainville.
Yeah, the Dolby Atmos Theater. Yeah.
It is amazing. It's worth the extra $5.
Yeah.
I mean, you get subwoofers in your chair.
Yeah, that's the... My wife always yells at me when we're watching movies at home because I sit in a corner and the subwoofer's right behind the couch.
Yeah, movie volume.
She's like, turn it down. I'm like, no.
No.
My butt's going to vibrate during the scenes it's supposed to. I paid for that for a reason.
Exactly. You paid extra for the thump.
Yes.
So big props to that theater there in Plainville. I mean, it's worth it.
Well, and a phenomenal movie.
And a phenomenal movie, yes. They did a great job. So let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Dom in Wallingford. Hey, Dom.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, I have a problem with my wireless security cameras at home.
Okay.
What happens is every once in a while, I have six cameras wirelessly connected.
Mm-hmm.
I get a not connected. One of the cameras just drops.
Yep.
And it takes maybe 3-4 days for it to come back online.
Mm-hmm.
Numerous texts have come out and have not been able to solve the problem.
Numerous texts?
Numerous.
How much did that cost you?
Actually, it was under the warranty, so it hasn't cost me a penny yet.
But they didn't fix it yet either, huh?
No, they haven't. So I'm listening to your show this morning, and I hear stories about the printers not being recognized.
Same principle about your cameras.
So am I correct in thinking that each camera has to have a static IP address established with my router?
It'd be nice if it did, right? Because then the IPs would never change.
Mm-hmm.
Either static or reservation in your DHCP for each one.
Right.
Because if it changes, you're going to lose it.
Right. So what do I have to tell these techs that they have to write?
They need to reserve IP addresses in your router for your cameras. And then, if they can, set the camera's IP addresses statically to within that reservation. Right? That's really all that has to happen.
Okay. Makes sense to me. I'm surprised that they haven't been able to find it.
Yeah. They might have been selling sneakers the week before. I don't know. I mean, we see this all the time. I mean, you wouldn't believe what we see in our practice. But the basics like this are never followed. A lot of people who are in IT are only doing it by trial and error. And they will bump into this solution eventually. And they'll be like, "Oh, that's why it changes all the time. Oh, okay. I wish they had a setting for that and they didn't even read the manual on the router."
So they need to set the an IP address in the router for each camera.
Yeah. Well, set an IP address for each camera first, and then within that router, reserve those addresses so they're not handed out for any other devices on your network.
Or exclude them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exclude, reserve, however you want to call it. But what's happening is that the camera's losing the IP, lease and it going away.
Yeah, that's what I figure is happening.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, does your company send out people to take care of this problem?
We're not really in the security camera business. We would recommend a security company that would do it for businesses. This sounds like it's a home installation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we don't really work for the general public, unfortunately. And frankly, Dom, you could do it yourself. This is your router you're working with, right?
Right, yes.
These cameras, I mean, whatever the manufacturer is, if you go online, you'll be able to bring up the PDF. Most likely, they use the password of blank and an admin login is admin. So basically, everyone in China is looking at your pictures as well.
Uh-huh.
If they can't set up this part of it, they probably didn't set up security either. So be aware of that. I would read the manual on the cameras. Make sure the password is set securely. If it is open, like I just suggested, you should be very afraid. You don't want that. There's so many open cameras that have been set up by amateurs. I can't even. It's ridiculous. I mean, literally anybody on the planet. There's whole pages out there where you can just search and watch people's video cameras.
Okay.
So I would read the manual on the manufacturer, then set up the password, set the static IPs, go into your firewall. Do you know how to set up a firewall? Your router?
No.
Okay. Again, it's not that difficult, but you need to set up the DHCP settings in your router. Or tell these guys to come out and do that and bring up the security pieces to make sure that they actually secure your cameras for you. Because
okay.
it is an oxymoron to have security cameras that are not secured.
Yes. It's also not safe.
Not safe. Yeah, not safe at all.
All right, thanks.
All right, Dom, good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. You can pretty much, I mean, there's pages and pages of sites out there where these wide open cameras people have set up with no passwords, nothing. Should be afraid. Let's go on to Stephen in Suffield next. What's up, Stephen?
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi.
At your recommendation, I switched over. I'm a Google member now as far as the TV goes. I paid up, but I'm not sure where to go after this. But anyway, my main question is about the router.
Yeah.
Which I have. It's an Aris TG2472. I don't know if you guys punch that up quick. You can see the specs. I'm wondering if that will be compatible with YouTube when I finally figure out how to what my next step is.
Yeah, so that's a Cox modem, the TG2. That's the Aris Cox device.
I couldn't remember if I bought that or not.
Nope. No, you're paid for it, kid. You're renting it every month.
Yeah, for a couple
so
years.
You bought it, all right.
Yeah.
But that's just a cable modem. And you could get rid of that, too. So when you're cutting the cable, you could go back and hand that to them after you go buy a Cox-compatible modem at Staples or Best Buy or wherever.
All right. It has to be Cox-compatible.
Yeah.
Because, it's going to be their internet. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not a router. That's just the modem. And you're going to want to buy your own router.
Okay.
So modem and router. Kind of the same thing we mentioned to the caller earlier in the 9 o'clock hour.
Right.
Pick up a modem and a router and get a 15-year-old kid in your neighborhood to help set it up for you.
All right.
But talk about security. Make sure that they show you how to set your password on your router.
Don't leave it defaulted. All right. You're right. A 15-year-old will do. I got a 20-year-old grandson, but I don't know if he's...
Oh, yeah. Those guys are perfect. Well, 20-year-olds, did he go to college?
No.
Okay. He's probably better off.
He's in college.
Oh, he's in college. Oh, then okay. They're back to the everything's free. They have no idea how anything works.
Yeah, right.
But
I appreciate it. You guys are always a big help.
All right, Stephen. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. It's really not a big deal. These cable companies are pretty much literally banking on the fact that you're going to keep paying them for the stuff that is really easily doable yourself. And they're charging an arm and a leg. I mean, to charge what they charge, just the old digital, those digital things that when they cut everything over from analog to digital, where you had to pay like $5 a box for each TV. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous on top of what you're paying to have to rent those devices forever.
But, you know, they have to come up with money to pay for all the advertising that they do and for all the lobbyists they have to keep competition off the polls.
Yeah, you don't want any poll neutrality. They want to only have two. There's only two folks generally on every poll out there, and it's usually the power company and Frontier, And then maybe the third would be the incumbent broadband cable provider who has paid somebody to get that deal. And this is the year 2019. Internet is more ubiquitous than water, practically. Yet you can only get it from one company, maybe two.
Yeah, thanks to Al Gore for inventing it.
Yeah, you'd think in such an industrious, you know, market-driven, you know, country like the United States, that offering alternative access to internet by all sorts of companies who want to say, hey, we'll give you a better internet at a lower price. Wouldn't that just be like, I don't know, yeah, well, as American as Apple
understand.
Pie?
You understand. We have the best government money can buy.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, what can I say? We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines open, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Actually, GoNetSpeed is expanding in West Hartford. So that's a fiber service, 150 megabits, again, more than you need, but for only $50. Guaranteed rate for the life of the service.
GoNetSpeed, come to Bristol, please.
Come to Southington, please. We'll be right back. And we are back. Four lines wide open, guys. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Also, if you've gotten that free solar pitch, if these guys are coming to your house like they came to mine last Saturday, you know, selling, they're not selling encyclopedias. They weren't selling, you know, vacuums. They were selling solar, but they were saying it was free. Free solar, as long as I had a good credit rating and my house wasn't in foreclosure. And so, just curious to know how that free solar has worked out for you, because we all know it's not free.
If it's free and you don't have to pay for it, why do you need a good credit score?
That was part of my questions. And they really, they just wanted to make sure they could set up an engineer to come out and tell me. But it is interesting. So, Bob, as we wait for our calls, let's get on to some more technology news.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is a CNET article. It says, see ya. Styrofoam.
Uh-oh, no more styrofoam.
Well, it's still out there, but
yeah.
We test the Igloo Recool, a $10 biodegradable cooler made from recycled tree pulp and available for now for $10 each.
Nice.
The Igloo Recool is a green-minded alternative to disposable coolers made from styrofoam. So yeah. It's a replacement for styrofoam.
Nice.
And can it get you through the day at the beach? They did testing.
Yeah.
So cheap styrofoam coolers get the job done if you just want to keep a couple of drinks cold. But they typically end up in landfills.
Yep.
Where they can take hundreds of years to break down, if not longer.
Right.
Now, Igloo has an alternative that won't fill you with green guilt during your next trip to the beach. It's called the Igloo Recool.
Yeah.
And Igloo calls it the world's first eco-sensitive cooler made from 100% biodegradable materials. At just $10 each, it's currently up for sale exclusively at REI stores with a wider retail rollout set for later this summer.
Yep. But it lasts about 24 hours, you said, right? It'll keep your
stuff
cold.
Well, they did testing. And they said it's rated for that. They didn't get the full 24 hours with the 3.5 pounds of ice, which is about half a bag. Or a third of a bag when you buy like a 10-pound bag at the convenience store.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's first seen in January at the Outdoor Retailer and Snow Show.
Mm-hmm.
The Recool is a hard-sided cooler made from a mix of paraffin wax and recycled tree pulp.
Yep.
With a capacity of 16 quarts, it promises to retain ice for up to 12 hours, making it a good pick for quick day trips.
Nice.
The body features built-in handles as well as a lid with four cup holders on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Igloo adds that it can stand up to bumps and drops better than styrofoam, too. Because,
wow.
You know, you bump those styrofoam things, they just crack.
I believe you. I've never, ever once in my life used one.
I've used them. I mean, you know, when I went somewhere and it was like I was going to use the cooler for a one-time thing.
My wife buys coolers like she buys handbags or she buys shoes. For some reason, we have a cooler for every size you could ever imagine.
Well,
I don't know why.
The cooler
she just thinks
is
they're cute.
Kind of cool. And I like to buy the styrofoam ones, to be honest with you, to take fishing, to put all the fish in.
Of course. So you catch fish?
Huh?
You actually catch fish?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
So when you catch fish, you put them in a cooler, you keep them cold,
all right.
You know, so they don't spoil on the trip home.
I'm not that lucky.
And then, you know, of course it gets smelly.
Of course. Yeah. You throw away the whole cooler and everything.
You throw away the whole cooler. Absolutely.
We'll put a link up here for you for your biodegradable.
And you can read about
cooler.
It. Yes.
Yeah. Let's get right back to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Plymouth. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks. Hey, I enjoy listening to you guys. I travel all over the country. I'm a resident of Texas, but I'm currently up here for a month or two visiting some friends of the family.
Nice.
And no matter where I am, California or whatnot, I like to tune in because I think you're very informative, especially on solving some of these troubleshooting problems based on the experience you get during the week.
Thanks.
But the question I have for you is Fios.
Yep.
And we seem to be on a grassroots kick here locally with the toll tax and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And since more people are getting interested in participating, is there something we can do to start to petition somebody? And I don't know if it's a government agency or something like that, but to get Fios into the area? Because you go to other parts, especially areas that aren't necessarily economically that advanced.
But right.
They've got fiber optic already. And yet here we are in a metropolitan area, so to speak, and we just can't seem to get the thing off center.
It's crazy. I've been looking myself to figure out who to talk to. I've even tried to bring on folks who are part of the governmental agencies here that, quote-unquote, regulate this stuff. And they don't really even want to come on.
Of course not.
Yeah. And trying to find who to, quote-unquote, complain to. I mean, you got guys like Blumenthal will take up any kind of fight, right? So you could always email or send a letter to these guys and then get in front of a camera. But the question is, will it ever get to fruition? And generally, it never does. It really comes down to backing a company, you know, like Fios and trying to see what they'll do to get in, because there's too many barriers. There's a lot of barriers to construction because the poles are controlled by the electric company and the old Ma Bells out there, right? They don't want them on the poles.
Yeah.
And they'll give you some crazy reason as to safety reasons and service reasons. They don't want these crazy fiber guys up there bumping their power lines, which is baloney.
Sure. Well, I've got a friend of mine who's got a commercial facility, for example, and to get into his building, he's got an old SNET pole.
Yep.
And, of course, SNET is there, and I forget, Frontier doesn't want to have any idea or any connection with pole maintenance.
Right.
So the thing is practically toppling over.
Wow.
And yet there's nobody to talk to on it in the sense that, you know, as long as they hold the lines up, great, but when the cable goes down or something, then they'll go out and figure out some other way to get CLMP or whomever to go out and put a pole up for them.
Right, yeah.
But I just figured since with the tolls, for example, there's a fellow who's coordinating this rally a week from today.
Yeah.
Down at the Capitol,
right.
That if there were somebody or a group, or I mean, I'd be interested in doing legwork on the thing in terms of research and contacting people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so sad that in an area as great as this, that we just can't seem to get fiber in here.
I completely agree. I mean, we're still revolutionary, I guess, but not when it comes to bringing internet to your home. I'll do some more research too, Tom, and I'll talk about it further. And if I can find a way where we can actually petition somebody. To fight for us, but so far they're all in bed together, and we, the consumer, as usual, and/or taxpayer in the toll fight, are on the short end.
Well, it's not as though we need to benefit from Blumenthal being in Washington or something.
No, I mean, of course
he just appears to be a placeholder in the sense that he's there.
You're right. Hey, Tom, I got to go. Ahead. I appreciate the call, sir.
Yep. Bye bye.
Bye bye. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. You're going to go to Paul in Florida next. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Good morning. How's everything up there? The weather's fine and sunny down here, and I guess you're suffering through the cool.
Well, we have one nice day today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
We'll try.
My concern is you've talked about projects. Fi and Pixel phones.
Yeah, Google Project Fi, really awesome.
Now, have you noticed the 3As are being advertised now?
The Pixel 3s, yep. The 3As, yep.
The 3A and the 3A XL.
Yeah.
Now, being a plastic phone, it doesn't have the wireless charging, but then again, wireless charging still needs a wire to the charger, but that's
right.
That was a joke.
Yep.
But I have a 17 Buick enclave with internet in the vehicle.
Okay.
And so this would just seamlessly mesh with that Wi-Fi for calling. Is that the way it works?
It'll use cellular Wi-Fi and or data Wi-Fi, but you'll be able to hit your Buick's Wi-Fi for any kind of surfing you need to do.
Okay, good. Now, normally when I have a HTC U11 phone, which I love, except that it's glass, and it's cracked because I happen to drop it when I have a case on it.
Yep.
And that phone I'm just looking to replace anyways. But the thing is, I always have mobile data turned off on my phone.
Yeah, you can still have mobile data turned off and make cell calls all day long with the Pixel.
Okay.
Because the mobile data is just for surfing Facebook or what have you. So you could turn mobile data off. I run my phone with the data saver on, right? So I don't have it off, but I have the data saver on. So nothing is updating in the background on my phone. I have jiggled the handle on my data usage. So my phone is not running. And if I go, anytime I get into Wi-Fi, it'll update, right? Which Wi-Fi is everywhere. So my cell bill is $22 on average per month.
Mine's 58.
So I've already saved you a ton of money. Now, mine's a second in a pair. My wife's bill is a little higher because the first phone is $25. The additional phones are $15. And then you pay for any data, which is $10 a gig. And I use like a third of a gig. I use 300 megs on average per month.
I'm somewhere around there too.
Good.
And, the other thing is, you know, people talk about, you know, the iPhones, it's just too intrusive. I don't want to be bothered. Anytime I want to download something off the store, I got to put an ID address in there, and I can't modify it the way I want.
Yeah.
And Samsung's interface is horrible. It's just, after using HTC, which is probably as close to Google UI as you can get, I have a sister and friends with Samsung. I said, there's so much bloatware on those things, because the phone I have is unlocked anyways.
Yep. Yeah, I would strongly recommend the Pixel because it's a pure Google system. And you can buy it directly from Google. It is SIM-less. And you're going to use three different carriers. You're going to use U.S. Cellular. You're going to use T-Mobile. And you're going to use Sprint. And I've never had a problem with service because I got three carriers versus just one.
Okay. Because the only thing was waiting for the Pixel 4s to come out, and I'm thinking, this deal, even though it's got Snapdragon 845 or something like that, I think it's got the 670, but the reviews I've seen indicate that they see basically no degradation of signal or use or anything else on this except when they do benchmarks.
Yeah, I think you'll be very happy with the – it's $399. Like my phone was a flagship at $650. When the 4s come out, I suspect Google will probably get into the $700 or $800 level, if I had to guess. It could be – maybe they'll keep it at $650. I hope they do. I might even change. My phone is working beautifully. I have no reason to change it, frankly.
The other thing, too, is – I mean, I kind of agree with Steve Jobs on one thing, is I really liked phones that you can handle with one hand.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't really want to have a mobile iPad.
No. Me too. I just have the standard Pixel 2. I'm not really into the XLs. It's too much to hang on to. It's too much in your pocket.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
As far as tolls are concerned, I'm 70 miles from the airport in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I think it's like $12 each way on tolls.
Right.
The road I take. And it's not cruel and unusual punishment, but you've got two issues. They got to decide how they want to get their money and how they want to spend it.
Well, they've already gotten our money. They've been taxing us with the gas tax and the petroleum tax forever. They just keep raiding that fund. So now they're out of money, and now they're saying they need more. You can't have it. You can't keep taking it. It's we're done.
Right. I've got fiber optic here.
Yeah.
With CenturyLink.
Yeah.
And it cost me $75 for the bundle of a home phone, a wired phone, and 80 megs down internet.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that sounds like a good price. Not too bad.
Yeah. Well, the thing, too, is that, and I'm in the poorest county in the state of Florida, I think, Marion County, which is actually bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
Oh, wow.
So things are different here. And it's to have this, but the next neighborhood doesn't even have fiber optic at all. And so there's no real consistent breakout of services here either. So we get the same problem.
It's a nationwide problem. These little fiefdoms that have been set up when the cable company came out to give you cable TV 30 years ago, that all needs to be broken up.
Right.
Enough of this. It's holding us back.
And if you got nobody else on the line, just very quickly, when I was working for the city of Bristol 15 years ago, one of the things I did was to do research almost on a national basis on the feasibility of buying streetlights instead of renting them from Connecticut Light and Power.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing some of the games we had. And we had those old wired game well boxes for the fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
Going on the poles, and SNET was doing a charge of $150 a pole to evaluate the feasibility of removing a game well wire, because they're doing away with that system, and replacing it with a fiber optic wire in the exact same spot.
Isn't that crazy? They don't want any other modern technology on these 40-foot pieces of wood in the ground.
Right.
That were put in when we're building the railroad. I tell you, Paul?
Hey, you just life moves on. You just keep going with it, and you make the best decisions you can.
Exactly. Well, enjoy Florida, and good luck with your Pixel 3A. Let us know if it works out.
I will. Thank you very much for your assistance and input, and I appreciate you being there.
Very good. Thank you. We'll be right back, guys. Take a quick break. Four lines wide open. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday in Connecticut. It's a rare thing. I know you're enjoying it. But if you ever had a reason to call in, we're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back. You're back. Thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We've got Dr. Lessie coming in after us. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. But let's get to your calls. We got John in Windsor. Morning, John. John,
yeah,
you there?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, sir.
I want to cut the cable cord, and what is the best internet to use?
Well, you still need... Yeah, you still need internet, so you can stay with Xfinity. The word cutting the cord is a little bit of a misnomer.
Okay.
So you're going to always have some method of internet to your home. So you could stick with the internet provider you have, along with the, they've got the cable TV piece. You're cutting the cable TV portion of your bill.
Okay.
And you're going to tell them, how many people are in your home, John?
Two.
You're going to tell them you want the slowest internet they offer, which is probably 50 megabits or even 30 megabits, you'll probably be fine. And that way you don't have to change any services and get a nice new price on your internet service. And they're going to tell you, oh, my gosh, we don't want you to go, John. How about we reduce your price by $30? And you're going to say, what? How much are you paying now?
Over $150.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're spending quite a bit on your service. So you can get that reduced.
Right, and all the channels we don't want to watch.
Exactly.
Basically, what I want to get is the Red Sox and the Hallmark channels. I don't know if I could get that with the...
Yeah, you can. So you have to find a service, whether it be YouTube TV or Hulu or Sling or DirecTV. There's tons of ways you can stream TV to your computer, to your television through your internet. You just got to pick the service that has those channels for the price you're willing to pay.
Okay.
You got to do a little
Another
research.
Question.
Yeah.
We also have the Fire Stick, Amazon Fire Stick, and the Roku.
Yeah, both of them, huh? You're all set then. Those devices could handle whatever you pick.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so you'll be able to go ahead.
The TV we bought is TCN, and it was built in, the Roku, and we already had the Fire Stick.
Yeah, you're in
and
great
what's
shape.
Nice about it, you could put both of them on that TV.
Yeah, you're in good shape. Now you just got to add whatever service you want, whether it be Sling, YouTube, Hulu, DirecTV.
Would you recommend any of them? Or
it comes down to how much you only you only listed two channels, so I wouldn't know what combination of services offers those two channels. I know that I can tell you by experience that YouTube TV has Nessun. So you'll get the socks, okay. Right? I can tell you that. But it's $50 a month. So I think
most
they're.
Most of them are.
Well, no. You can find cheaper ones. Hulu, Sling. There's some cheaper ones out there.
Oh, okay.
I think, frankly, I'm paying too much for that already.
You got to move to West Hartford, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to move to West Hartford and get that nice high speed fiber.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Right. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Have a good day.
You too, yeah, John.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And let's move on to Cindy and Vernon next. Cindy, what's up?
Thanks for taking the call. We are at work upgrading from Windows 7 to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're noticing with some of the software that we use, we have no problem in Windows 7, but in the Windows 10, and this software is loaded on a server, so it's the same access.
Yep.
The mouse cursor disappears. You can still type and do things, but you can't see your mouse cursor. Have you heard of this with Windows 10?
No. We've heard of all sorts of weird things, though, Windows 10. It could be that the mouse that you have is not Windows 10 compatible fully.
Okay.
These are the old mice that came with the Windows 7 machines, right?
Yeah.
They probably need to either replace the mice or upgrade the drivers on the mice to be Windows 10 compatible. What do you think, Bob?
Well, it could be that, or it might be just a matter that you got to shake the mouse around a little bit.
To wake
get
it up.
To show up. Yeah, mine disappears all the time.
we've tried all kinds of things with the mouse, and it just never shows up.
Yeah, and they're all the same mice, Cindy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same original devices. It's just the Windows 10 now.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's some sort of driver incompatibility.
Just buy a new,
new mouse
and keyboard combo.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, I think you'll be all set.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Cindy. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, Windows 10 is going to be fun.
Mouse and keyboard isn't that expensive. If you want to go wired, they're very cheap.
They are. And you get something current. Most likely that's the issue. I would think it's something like that. Let's go to our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, do you still need to worry about personal information on a printer if you're throwing the printer away? I got an HP 6700 and bought a new one. And we, copied some tax information and bank information at one time on it. And I remember you had to take the hard drive out or everything you ever copied was in there and people could access it if they got it.
Correct. So if that printer happens to have a hard drive, which we're going to try to check, right? Is that what you're trying to do, Bob?
Yeah.
We're going to see if that has a hard drive in it. Then the answer is yes. You take that hard drive out before you scrap the printer. But most home printers are not going to have a hard drive in it,
okay,
if I had to guess.
Just like sort of the office ones and stuff like that.
Yeah, the copiers. Bob's checking.
Yeah, I don't think that one. It's cheap. It's $85.
Yeah.
I don't think it has a hard drive in it.
No, you're good,
okay,
Danny.
So the 6700 is about 7 years old.
Right.
Well, then I don't have to rip it apart and bust stuff up. Okay,
nope.
You saved me some work. Thanks
a lot.
Hey,
have you heard about the Blue Moon?
Oh, the Blue Moon, yes, I did hear about the Blue Moon. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, Musk is making fun of Bezos. These two billionaires are making fun of each other as far as neither of them getting to the moon yet, anyways.
You know, it's funny. I don't think Bezos ever tweets him back, though. He's not taking the bait.
Exactly. Well, Bezos has had enough trouble with his information out there on the internets. But yeah, I mean, you got Amazon wants to go to the moon. Musk hasn't talked about it. He wants to go to Mars, right?
Well, he wants to go to Mars. Well, he's going to do the fly around the moon and land supplies on the moon, but never a colony on the moon. He's focused on Mars.
Gotcha.
And Branson's getting
people.
That lander
was very. I got the email because I'm on Blue Origin's email.
Yeah.
And I saw the presentation, and it's really weird looking. His landing legs on his landers. Their design is kind of unique and strange.
Yeah, maybe they're going to use the same soundstage they use for the moon landing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true.
you
little guy peek in the window walking by when they're videoing.
Right.
Did you ever see that video?
No, I have not.
I saw it, and I couldn't believe it. They're inside the capsule, and they're filming inside the capsule, supposedly when they were on transition to the moon.
Yeah.
And out one of the windows, you can see a tech walk by with a pair of glasses on, and he stops and peeks in for a second.
I've never seen that. I believe that we landed on the moon. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I do, too. There's no doubt about it.
But it's funny. It's funny to have Amazon. What do you want to say about
Richard Branson's working on competing with those guys, too. He's got that Virgin Intergalactic.
Right.
Where he's sending people up to space. They want to get up to Mars also.
Yeah. Oh, is he going for Mars now, too?
I think so, if that's what I seem to remember. But yeah, he's going to get people up into space. He's going to charge a bunch of money just to get you to get a ride into space.
Well, you know, there's another company out in Arizona, and I tried to check into this a while ago. They're going to take a gondola up on a helium balloon up 120,000, 130,000 feet.
What could go wrong?
And they're going to paraglide back down with a parasail.
Yeah.
So you'll actually get up to be weightless, or sort of microgravity.
Yeah.
And then have a 3-hour gliding ride back down.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wear such a spacesuit that you won't
even notice.
Somebody's
already done that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to be fun.
Well, no, it's going to be pressurized and stuff, so you won't have to have a spacesuit, just like in Bezos in the Blue Origin. You just wear a flight suit and a helmet with oxygen.
Huh. Okay. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to go on either of those things, but thank you, Danny, for chiming in.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
We'll see you. Want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I got my wife a Roomba robot for Mother's Day. Just kidding. It wasn't for Mother's Day. We got it for the house anyways. I would never do that. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Joey, for producing. Dr. Alessi's up next. Mike G posted everything live that we talked about over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook at Tab Computer Systems, the information may get into your newsfeed if Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. We have not been banned yet over at Tab Computer Sys. Thanks again.
Happy Mother's Day. See you next week.